Kelly Davis, your host of the Untold Miracles podcast, and today is a very special day. I am talking to the first woman ever from the state of North Dakota to capture the title of Miss America. She is an honors graduate from Brown University, and she is the Goodwill Ambassador for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Miss Kara Mund, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I've had the opportunity to meet you since you were crowned, but I really want to go back to September 10th. You were on stage competing for Miss America. You are standing on stage next to Miss Missouri, finding out who is going to capture that crown. Let us know what that moment was like, what was going through your head, and what you were feeling as you walked down that stage with the roses and your crown and waving to everyone. I mean, I can't even imagine that moment. Please help us understand what that was like.
So it's just a moment that I had dreamed of. That's what I thought it was. I thought it would be just a dream and that it would never actually happen to me. And so as we stood there, I mean, you have all of these flood of emotions. And I just had so much pride because I knew that if I was the first runner-up or if I was the winner, I had made history for North Dakota. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. Up to that point, we'd only had three women ever make it up to the top 10 and never beyond that. And I thought, you know, North Dakota's a state just as important as all the others. And, you know, it's important for all those young girls to know that it doesn't matter where you come from. If you work hard and you dream it and, you know, you can do it and you can become it. And so when my name was called, I think one of the best parts was that it wasn't my name. Instead, it was my state. Mm. And so, you know, the group of individuals that I had the privilege of representing, the group that made me who I am, that's kind of, you know, who was honored in that moment. And so as I walked down the runway, I mean, I to be totally honest, I don't really remember it. I remember the song. And I mean, I just was in such shock. And then when I got to the end of the runway, I saw my parents and I bent down and I guess I touched the crown and I asked my mom if it was real life.
Tell me what that dream was like as a little girl. When did this happen? And did you visualize yourself wearing the crown? Like, tell me what that dream was like.
So I think the dream was formed when I was about 6 years old, and I met my first Miss North Dakota. And for the longest time, I kind of thought that that's where the dream stopped. I thought, you know, okay, I have to win my local title, and then I become Miss North Dakota, and that was that, just because we'd never had one. And I don't know why I had this mentality that because we didn't have one, we never would have a Miss America. And so, you know, once I got there, that's when I was like, you know, I have the qualities it takes. It doesn't matter what state I come from. You know, I've worked hard up to this point. I think I embody the spirit. I think I'd be a great person for the job. And I'm just really fortunate that the judges saw that too.
After the pageant, I was at the press conference and I got to meet your cute mom and dad. And I was talking to them and I really feel like they were in shock a little bit because there they are and their daughters just won Miss America. How have they processed that? You know, what has that journey been like for them so far?
I mean, it's almost been 3 months and I'm not even sure if it still hit us. Just because, like I said, we never expected for it to happen. And so once it did, it was just, you know, a dream that they knew I always had, but we just, for some reason, didn't think it would become reality. And so I feel like we're all still on cloud nine. And, you know, I take each day and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. And to only have 365 is kind of terrifying. But at the same time, I know that while the crown only lasts a year, the impact and the legacy will last a lifetime.
Absolutely. And I really want listeners on the show today to understand what the Miss America organization is, because I don't think people realize that this is the world's largest scholarship program for women. And when you won, you were awarded a $50,000 scholarship and you also have a salary and you travel the country for a year going state to state, making a huge positive impact in the world. And there's 4 points to the crown. And this is a year of service. I want you to share those 4 points of the crown and what characteristics it really does take to become Miss America if that's a dream that you aspire to.
The 4 points are service, style, scholarship, and success. And as you stated, I got a $50,000 scholarship. And then actually my persistence over the years, it took 4 years for me to even win the title of Miss North Dakota. So wow. I'd earned about $45,000 through that. So when I won the title of Miss America, I had almost $100,000 I'll be able to use towards my education, which I'm very grateful for. But with that, I mean, comes the service aspect. And I think that's, you know, one of the parts that I'm always the most excited about. And, you know, getting to work with Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, I mean, that's the highlight, I really think, of my year. I've already been able to visit 6 hospitals. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I'll actually be going to the Sanford and Bismarck.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes. So our Children's Miracle Network Hospital in North Dakota is located in Fargo, and then they have like a little branch here in Bismarck. And so, put right with Stanford. And I said, well, if I'm supposed to have a day off on my birthday, I want to spend it with the kids, because that really is my favorite part of being Miss America.
I actually just saw some photos of you from a visit at one of our children's hospitals, and you could just see how you being in that room with them lit them up. The smiles on their faces when they're going through such challenging things. To see that is a miracle. You'll never know the impact that you made that day when you walked into that room and you got down on their level and you were present for them. Like, I can't thank you enough for that. Tell me about one or two kids that you've met from your journey visiting our children's hospitals the last couple months.
It's been amazing. There's so many stories. And I think that's where most of my stories as Miss America have come from. So one of them was this little boy, Knox, that I was playing on the floor with him, and we were playing Legos, and all of a sudden he kind of started acting up. And the nurse said, you know, Knox, you better be on your best behavior. Miss America's here, and I bet she knows Santa. And Knox says, she's not an elf. She doesn't know Santa. And we all just burst out laughing. It was the funniest thing. So when I left, later that evening, Santa came up on the floor, and he actually went to Knox's room and told him that he was sent by Miss America.
No
way. And they
said
his eyes got so big, and he was like, did she tell you I was naughty?
Oh my gosh, what a great story.
Yes, so that was one of them. And then another one was in the L.A. hospital, or the one in Orange County.
Uh-huh. Children's Hospital, Orange County.
Yes. And I walked in, and, because you could tell the child just wasn't feeling very well. And, I started talking, and he really wasn't responding. And then finally, he has a question, and he says, if you're really Miss America, are you married to Captain America?
No way.
And I said, yes. It's just, it is the cutest stories.
I want to go back to when you were 14 years old, you started an annual fashion show. And over the years, you've granted 23 wishes, raised over $78,000. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on those. It may be more. But I want to know how you got this idea to help all of these kids at Make-A-Wish and grant these wishes, because these kids are being treated at our children's hospitals, the ones that you're granting wishes for. You're changing their life. Like, how are you able to do that at such a young age? And where did you get that vision from?
Yeah, when I was 13, I had two classmates that were diagnosed with cancer. And it was Amber DeRoche and Kayla Hillstead. And on my 14th birthday, Amber passed away. Mm-hmm. And at her funeral, all memorials went to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I really didn't know much about Make-A-Wish at the time. Mm-hmm. But I saw the impact that it had. And, I mean, all of her hospital visits, it was something that she was able to look forward to. And Kayla was in the wish-granting process, but it was a little more than average. And so I thought, well, what can I do at 14? And so I thought maybe this charity fashion show. And as you said, 10 years later, it became an annual event. It's involved numerous kids. One of our actual, the CMN Hospital's champion was an honored wish child in one of my shows. And
wow.
So they really do come together. And I was able to see her at the Fargo Hospital opening when John Locke was there as well. And I mean, it was just amazing. And you see, that wish, it impacts their life for, the rest of their life. And it's something that they can go into the hospitals and they can talk with other kids and say, well, I did this and I did this. And, it almost gives them a little bit more hope and a little more inspiration, something to look forward to. And so, the two organizations go so well together. And, it really did instill that service aspect for me. And what's amazing is that when Amber was sick, before she passed, she had this vision to change our children's hospital here in Bismarck. And so the Sanford, little chain here in Bismarck. And so she did a few designs and ended up creating this hospital wing that was called Amber's Dream. And it's based off of Peter Pan. It has a, ship that's a nurse's station. And I've seen a lot of hospitals very similar that are Children's Miracle Network hospitals. And so tomorrow when I go to the hospital for my birthday, it's actually the 10th anniversary since Amber's death. And so we'll be able to celebrate the legacy that she left in this hospital and, all of the hope that it brings to these kids.
In the 23 wishes that you've granted, or maybe more today, how are those kids doing today? Do you keep in touch with them still?
Yeah, well, they come back year after year, so it kind of becomes a reunion, because even after they get a wish, they still stay connected. We have lost a few of them, unfortunately, and one just a month or two ago that, you know, she passed. But it's hard, but at the same time, you know the positive impact it's making. And just like Children's Miracle Network hospitals, it's something that they look forward to, something that makes those really tough days just that much better.
You know, this podcast, we talk about miracles and believing in miracles and creating miracles in the lives of those around you. And the miracles that you've created through your program is unbelievable. I do want to go back to when you were growing up and you had a desire to go to an Ivy League school. Small town girl from Bismarck, North Dakota. And I want you to share what one of your teachers told you and how that kind of helped propel you to get where you are today.
So I feel like throughout my life, I was often underestimated, you know, from high school to college to even at Miss America. And so I had gone in, I said, you know, my dream was to go to an Ivy League school. And I was just a 10th grader at the time. And I hadn't taken my ACT, but I'd been a straight A student. And, you know, I had been working towards this goal. And he had said that, you know, I don't think a girl like you are going to go to an Ivy League school. And, you know, I think that mentality and knowing that they thought I couldn't do it is just what made me that much more driven. And, you know, it's been like that throughout my life. You know, even trying to get Miss North Dakota, it took 4 tries. There was 3 judges panels before that said no before I finally found a panel that saw me as having the qualifications. I'm very grateful for it now because I think it's what instilled that hard work and that determination and just made me push that much more. There was others that didn't think I could do it. I could, and I did.
Well, I want to go back to competing for Miss North Dakota 4 times. How did you handle the disappointment in that and continue to choose, you know, to put one foot forward every day towards your dream? Because a lot of times people get that one rejection and they're done.
Oh, yes. No, definitely. And the first year I was, you know, I really wasn't ready for the job, I don't think. And I was ready to go back to school and I couldn't imagine taking a year off. And so I really took it as a learning experience. And then the next year, I was a little disappointed, but I still had that determination to make the dream come true. And then it was the third year. And I think that's when I kept telling myself, well, maybe this wasn't meant for me. And maybe it was just a dream, but that was it. And I did. I went through a point where I didn't think I would compete again. And then when it came down to it, and it was only a few more local competitions left, I was wondering, well, which one's worse, to compete one last time and not win, or to not compete and always wonder what if. And at the end of the day, it was the what if that I didn't want to have to ever worry about. And I knew with each time that, you know, I didn't necessarily succeed at the title of Miss North Dakota, I always had a lesson that I had learned. And that lesson just led to more opportunities to just better yourself. And so when I got to my fourth year, I was ready, and I won every category at the state pageant, which had never happened before. And so when I got to Miss America, I just kept telling myself, I've done this so many times that there's no need for me to be nervous. You know, I know my routine. I know how to walk. I know how to answer questions. I've had all of this practice. And so, you know, that was one question I got in interviews: what's your biggest failure? And immediately went to not winning the title that first few tries. But then I thought, well, that's not a failure. A failure is an event that I actually just never tried because I was too afraid it wouldn't happen.
What would you say has been the biggest blessing from this divine timing?
Oh my goodness, there has just been so many. You know, I think the way that it happened, I am the strongest contestant I could have ever been. I'm very fortunate that I'd already finished my undergraduate degree. And so, you know, winning this scholarship will be able to go to law school. And so now I'm looking at schools that I hadn't necessarily looked at before because I was too afraid of how much debt I would, you know, have coming out of it. And so it's a perfect time in my life. It's a time when I've been able to say, like, look at my successes with Make-A-Wish. But then also now I get to travel all across and meet with children in all of these Children's Miracle Network hospitals. And I was just so ready, where before, I just don't know if I was ever 100% ready.
I know that you have an aspiration, at least I read this, might not be true, you never know what you find on Google, but that you want to be the governor of North Dakota. Tell me about that.
Another big dream, and that's what I keep telling all these kids, is just keep dreaming bigger. You know, the only one who limits you is yourself, like I said. And so we've never had a female governor of North Dakota. And current statistic is that there's about 20% women at the state and national level. So state of North Dakota, as well as in our nation, that are, you know, serving in public office. And I would love to see that number become bigger. And I thought, well, if I'm the first woman from North Dakota to become Miss America, why can't I also be the first woman to become governor? And if it's not me, just hopefully one mm-hmm. day we will have one to show the equal representation.
Well, you had the opportunity to work in the U.S. Senate with John, is it Hoeven? I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
Yes, yes.
Tell me what that experience was like being a woman in politics, and did you feel like your voice was heard?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate that I came, you know, from North Dakota. I did feel like my voice was heard. I also felt like the voice of our constituents was always being heard, but I'm not sure if I can say the same for a few of the other states. And, you know, it was frustrating when you're watching policy and you don't get to see a woman's voice always being heard. And, you know, for North Dakota, that's why I think I loved my job so much, was because it really made me realize what our state's doing well and how we can help impact other states. But at the same time, things that we could work on as well. But I absolutely loved it. And, you know, having the opportunity to know that you can serve as a voice for those that always aren't heard is, I think, really what drew me to the political.
So if you were, or should I say when you are, the first female governor of North Dakota, what is one thing that you would really want to do?
Oh, there's numerous things. I think right now North Dakota could focus on our health care.
Mm-hmm.
And making it more affordable in rural areas. And so right now in North Dakota, about an air ambulance from Dickinson to Bismarck is about $48,000.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, it's only about 100 miles between. And so for these patients and for kids and for the elderly to be able to get proper medical attention, I do think we could make it a little more affordable. I also think it's something that could be done right here at the state level, just because, you know, North Dakota is not the same as New York. We're not going to have the same issues. And so I think if we can help, you know, fix it at the state level, then we can take it to the national level.
I love it. You trained with the Radio City Rockettes. You're a jazz dancer. Tell me about that. I mean, that's crazy. And you didn't just do it once. Didn't you do it a couple of summers?
Yes, yes. I knew about the opportunity. And you're supposed to go to a live audition. And I wasn't able to make it to a live audition. The closest one in North Dakota was in Chicago. And I just had no means to get there. So I sent in a video and I did what the girls would be doing at the audition, which was like a kick line, a little set of choreography, show off your pirouette. And I sent it not expecting anything. And they ended up admitting me into the program. And so I went to New York and I was only 14 at the time. One of the youngest girls. And that's when I kind of developed this dream to become a Rockette. And so I came back year after year, and it was based on your performance in the program. They would invite you back, or else they'd make you re-audition. But I always got invited back, which is really exciting. But to be a Rockette, you have to be 5'6". And, you know, we thought when I was 14, I'd grow to be 5'6", but I'm actually only about 5'3½", 5'4", on a good day. And so I was too short to ever be a Rockette. And I'd always pictured myself when I was a Rockette getting to dance in the Macy's Day Parade, because that's one of, you know, the first appearances I'd ever seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, when I got to be Miss America, I walked out and I had a Miss America float, and I looked over and I saw the Rockettes, and I said, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Wow, I have goosebumps right now. That is such an incredible story.
Yes.
And I really didn't know that you dreamed of being a Rockette.
Yes. Well, it's funny because you have this plan and you have, you know, these hopes, and sometimes it doesn't work out, but then something even better does.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, I want people to get a better sense of like what a day in the life of Miss America looks like. What this job is actually like.
So as we stated, it is a job of service. But I mean, each day you can't really, you know, figure out what the day is going to be until the day's over, just because there's no day that's ever the same. So we travel about every 48 hours. I change locations in that amount of time. So typically it's a travel day, an appearance, and then a travel day again. And then we go on to the next event. I travel about 20,000 miles every month. Just depending on the month. But as I stated, I mean, you can't really predict what it's going to be like until the day is over. And you never know what opportunities are going to arise, because you're Miss America, or because there's connections that are also at the same event that you're at. But I think that's what makes it so exciting and what makes the year go by so quickly.
Will you be in New York City when they drop the ball?
I'm not sure right now. I'm hoping to be. And if not there, there's a few other opportunities that I'm hoping to be at. There's an Eagles game on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'd love to be there in the event I can't be at the ball dropping. But we'll see. We'll see.
I have a couple quick fire questions before we end. I want to know the favorite place you've ever visited.
Ooh, yes. I would have to say Hawaii, just because it was unlike North Dakota in all aspects. It's so tropical, just so beautiful. And that was when I saw the ocean for the first time, was when I was in Hawaii.
Amazing. Your favorite food?
Seafood. Anything seafood. I love shrimp, lobster, crab, anything seafood.
Biggest mentor in your life?
My mom. That would have to be. And I actually got this at Miss America, too. And I had told them that my mom's been diagnosed 3 times with cancer. So breast cancer twice and then melanoma. And so I think that's what makes these hospital visits just that much more meaningful to me, is because I remember being that age. And while I was not the sick child, I do remember how difficult it is on the family. And so I think that's one thing, is I always make sure I go in and I get to visit with the patient, but I also get to visit with the family.
If you could meet any celebrity, who would that be?
Ooh, there's a few of them. So one of the North Dakota natives is Josh Duhamel. And I've always wanted to meet him. And he was an inspiration to me because he was always the well-known North Dakotan. And so I'd like to meet him.
Okay, let me see what I can do to make that happen. We just need to reach out to his publicist and arrange this sometime. What's your biggest fear?
I would have to say failure, and I define that again by not trying. And so I never want to not try something now because I'm scared it's not going to happen.
Favorite book?
Ooh, The Last Lecture by Randy Pausch. He's a fellow Brown alumni, and he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so the book's about the lessons he wants his young children to know, because at the time they were too young to really understand. So it was a legacy he left behind and that the whole world gets to share now.
Wow, I love that. And just a motto you like to live by.
So this is actually from the book that Randy wrote. And it's, you can't control the cards you're dealt, but you can control how you play the hand. And it was also kind of a motto. I never really had a way to phrase it, but when I was little, my mom always made that comment. And she kept saying, you can't really control what happens, but we can control how we react. And so that's something I live by every day because it was instilled by me at such a young age.
You know, I'm familiar with his story. I haven't read his book, so I'm really excited. I've got my phone in my hand. I've got the Amazon app, and I can get it in 2 days.
Thank you
for the recommendation. Well, Kara, I just want to thank you so much for your time. I want to thank you for your heart. I want to thank you for creating miracles. And I just am so excited to see what you do this year as Miss America. And I know that there's going to be a lot of miracles that we can talk about a year from now when we have you on the podcast again.
Thank you so much. And I am just so grateful to serve as a Goodwill Ambassador for Children's Miracle Network Hospital. It really is what makes the year just so outstanding.
Do you have a blog, Kara?
I don't have a blog, but just at Miss America is the Instagram. Miss America Organization is our Facebook, and Twitter is at Miss America.
Perfect. Well, everyone, have a great day. And thanks again, Kara. We love you.
Thank you.
Ace Hardware's annual winter roundup is going on now. You can donate to your local Children's Miracle Network Hospital at participating Ace Hardware locations when you round up your purchase. All the funds raised in this campaign directly benefit the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals in your area. Stop by your local Ace to round up before December 24th.